All right, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. You should have a copy of the lesson. If you don't, it'll slip up your hand. They'll bring that right by to you. Going through our series on putting on the new man. And tonight we want to entitle the lesson, Planning to Be a Blessing. Out of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, "Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth unto his, with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one towards another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Our text verse is verse 28. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And so planning on being a blessing, and certainly you can't be a thief and be a blessing to someone else. I don't think there's a couple of things I can't stand. It's a liar, but also I can't stand a thief. I know my wife and I were robbed when we were in Bible college. We had nothing, but they found something they wanted to take, amen. And I know I remember in 1969, whew, that's showing my age. And in 1969 Chevelle Super Sport, whew, great. And I got a new 8-track player, amen, and mounted that in my car. Some of you are looking at me and say, "What in the world is that?" But I put that in there, man. We were playing 8-tracks and everything, and I went up to Cumberland County Fair, and we were in there watching Demolition Derby and all this, that, and the other, having a great time. I get out and get out of my car, reach down to put the 8-track in. There was no 8-track. It was gone. That quick, somebody stole it. I can't stand a thief. Amen. You can't be a blessing and be a thief at the same time. And so that's why I wanted to entitle this, Planning to Be a Blessing. Let him that stole steal no more. You want to be a blessing to somebody. The admonishment here, steal no more, just means literally don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. And when someone takes something that does not belong to them, they're demonstrating a very selfish spirit. They're looking at it and say, "I don't feel as though you have the right to have what you purchased, but I want it. So since I want it, I can take it, and now it's mine." So the admonishment is don't be selfish. The acknowledgement is to give to him that needeth, so do be generous. Rather than looking at what you can get for yourself, look at life in reference to what you can to be a help to someone else. That's why he says, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so biblically, Scripture lays out for us that we're to live our life more concerned about what we can do to be a blessing to someone else than to live our lives consumed with the idea of what's in it for me. And we've become a very selfish society, and because everything revolves around how does everything affect me. And it really has corrupted a whole concept of how we live. So we see that we're to meet the needs of the others. John Bunyan said this, "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone else who could never repay you." I've had people over the years have asked, "Oh, you know, I need some help financially, and, you know, can you loan me some money?" They've asked about the church. "Can the church loan me some money?" And I tell them, "No, we don't loan. We're not a bank. We don't loan money." And I've told folks, you know, if we can help you, if we have finances to help you, we will help you. And if we are a blessing to you and we use the others' fund to be a blessing to you, when you now are on your feet and you're being blessed, then give to the others' fund so you can be a blessing to someone else. We don't want to give something to somebody expecting something back. And I found this, over the years, when you do something for someone or you give to someone, thinking you're going to get something back, gets set up for a disappointment. Because the reality is, you're not going to get anything back. And so just enter into life with the mindset, I want to be a blessing. And so if I don't give loans to people. If people need money and I have money I can give them, I'll give it to them. I don't expect anybody to pay me back. And so we want to be a blessing. We don't want to be selfish. And so have you been a blessing to somebody today? Winston Churchill said this, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And life is not about how much you can get in this time that you're on this earth. Life is about reaching out and being a blessing to someone else. So don't be selfish, but do be generous. And so that's how we plan on being a blessing. So let's look at some things here on how we can prepare to be a blessing. First of all, crookedness. We need to change crookedness to honesty. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, we know that verse says, thou shalt not steal. And so if someone is stealing, taking something that is not their own possession, they're crooked. That's all there is to it. They're a crook. And they need to change their lifestyle from being a crook to being an honest person so that they can be a blessing to others. And so when you think about this matter, thou shalt not steal, what are some things that you can steal? Stealing of goods. And I thought about Achan, and back in Joshua chapter 7, Achan took that which was not his. He took goods. God had commanded what they were allowed to take and what they were not allowed to take. When they went into Jericho, basically they were not allowed to take anything. And all the goods that were there, they were to leave it, and God had so commanded about that. But Achan took it upon himself to take what was not his. And he says when in chapter 7 and verse 21 of Joshua, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. See, it's goods. Not money. It's not anything else. It's goods. He says, in 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, then I coveted them and took them. Realize this, when someone is taking something that is not their own, they have fallen into the sin of covetousness, feeling that they have a selfish right to take what is not theirs. And he says, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And so he was stealing of goods. Achan took that which was not his. And listen, you know right well what is yours and what is not yours. We get on the kids in our school all the time. You know, you do not take somebody else's pencil. You do not take their lunch. You don't do this. You don't do that. Now they think they have the right to take that stuff. No, you don't have the right to take that stuff. And so it's not yours, so keep your hands off of it. And so the stealing of goods, Achan took that which was not his. Achan took that which was cursed of God. And literally in chapter 7 in verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Abdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So how in the world could we even contemplate in our minds that we could take things that are goods that are not ours and have God's blessing on us when we know God said, thou shalt not steal. You don't take things that are not yours. So stealing of goods, stealing of money. Thinking about goods, I remember I was a young kid, and my goodness, I don't know how old I was, probably 7th, 8th grade or whatever, went into 5 and 10 cent store. Man, I'm really showing my age here tonight. I went into 5 and 10 cent store, and I didn't need a comb. There was a comb there, and I got it, this comb, and I was thinking, well, I'll go up here and buy his comb. I'm really confessing my sin tonight, I guess. I don't know. And I put the thing in my pocket. And as soon as I put the thing in my pocket, the manager of the store grabbed me. I was like, oh no, don't tell my dad. And I was like, oh, I was going to pay for it. Really, I was. I got the money. And you know, I thought I was going to jail for sure. Amen. Taking goods that are not yours. God's not going to bless. God's not going to bless in that. So we need to teach our children that you don't want to be crooks. You want to be honest. And you want to be a blessing to someone else. You don't take goods that are not yours. And you certainly don't steal money. And I was thought about this, stealing money, being dishonest in business transactions. Now, you might not go out and rob a bank, but maybe you'll cheat on your taxes. You're being crooked. You need to be honest on your taxes. You need to take care of your business in a proper way. I drove tractor and trailer. I still have hundreds and hundreds of dollars, probably thousands of dollars owed to me because businesses I hauled freight for never paid me. They still haven't paid me. They're crooks. And so, listen, it was rightfully my money to receive because I conducted a business based on my requirement of delivering that load, but they didn't pay me. And Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So if you're a businessman, then do justly with people. If you're a contractor or whatever, do justly in your bidding and dealings with, and whatever the business dealing is, don't be dishonest in your business. Why? Because you are being selfish and you're not preparing to be a blessing. So dishonesty in business transaction, but also dishonesty in family transactions. I think sometimes we have to be careful how we deal with our family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so God not only holds us accountable in our business transactions, he holds us accountable in our family and how we provide and how we care for our family. And so don't be a thief. Don't be selfish. Don't be crooked. Be honest because you want to be a blessing to those that are around you. And so you can steal. There's a stealing of goods. There's a stealing of money. There's this stealing from God. And how do you do that? You steal from God when you don't pay your tithe, when you refuse to pay your tithe. And some people think it's not a big thing or whatever, but God does make a big thing about it, about how you handle your money when it comes to worshiping the Lord. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, tells us very clearly, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. And so make sure that you give to the Lord what is just and right according to the word of God. You don't want to be crooked. You don't want to be dishonest in dealing with business, in dealing with family, in dealing with God. We need to do things that are appropriate and are right. I love these couple quotes that I found. It says, the way some people give, you would think the church is coin operated. Amen. And it's interesting if somebody wants to give, but they want to get change back out of the offering plate. Amen. But where there is no interest, there's no investment. If we're really interested in what the church is and what our mission is as a church, then certainly we have no problem with giving to the work of God because we want to prepare to be a blessing. And the only way that the church can be a blessing is through God's people who give God's way. And certainly God will honor you and God will bless you as you're a blessing to others. So you can literally be crooked in your dealings with God through not dealing with your giving to God properly. But also, number two there, is by refusing to give of yourself. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2, Paul deals with this, giving of ourselves. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Giving of yourself. God calls each of us to give of ourselves. The interesting thing is in chapter 12, he starts out with this, beseeching us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. And then as you go down through chapter 12, he starts identifying the gifts of the Spirit. He starts identifying the talents that God gives each of us. And so he starts out with saying, don't hold back. You give everything unto the Lord. You surrender yourself to the Lord. And here are the ways that you can surrender yourself to the Lord. But when we just sit back and we say we're not going to do anything or we're not going to surrender our lives to God, we're literally robbing God of what he desires to do in us. You need to surrender yourself to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so we're talking about preparing to be a blessing to somebody else. And the way I prepare to be a blessing to someone else, I understand that I have to handle my finances right. I need to handle the gifts and talents God has given me right. And I need to surrender myself totally to him because he has something he wants to do through me to be able to help someone else. And if you stop and think about it, people aren't going to get saved just because of the fact that we are sitting here doing nothing about getting them saved, and we just believe that they need to be saved, but we don't go out and tell them how to be saved. You got to do something. You got to prepare yourself. You need to surrender yourself to be used of God, to be able to reach out, to be a blessing to others. And so let's just be transparent, let's be open, let's be honest, and let's be willing to put on the new man and follow the image of Christ and the example of Christ, the pattern of Christ's life, and be a blessing to someone else. So this matter of crookedness turned to honesty. Well, number two there, our thought is this, that laziness needs to be turned to productivity. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 10, Paul's, for even when you were we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so laziness needs to be turned to productivity. And I like these couple of quotes we found. It says, no one ever climbed a hill just by looking at it. You know, people say, look around, they say, well, you know, something really ought to be done. I remember when I was down in Dividing Creek, there's one guy just before church started, and one of the fellows in church, one of the older guys came walking in church, and he walked right up to me and he told me, he said, you know, there's an awful lot of sticks and branches laying out there on the sidewalk in front of the church. Somebody's going to trip over them. You ought to pick them up. And I looked at him, I said, well, wouldn't hurt you to bend over and pick them up neither. And I said, I'm getting ready to preach. I'm not getting ready to pick up sticks. And I told him, I said, don't come to me just before I'm getting in the pulpit and start talking to me about picking up tree branches outside. I said, you're going to get me in a bad mood before I even get up there to preach. And I'm going to have to pray and ask God to purge me of my sin. Amen. What's wrong with you picking them up? Laziness needs to be turned to productivity. A lot of people can talk about a lot of things that need to be done. Why don't you do something about it? Well, I think the church ought to be doing this. Wonderful. You're in charge. Go for it. I like this. The train of failure usually runs on the track of laziness. You know, you're not going to get anything done unless you get up and get it done. Amen. I just was trained and taught when I was younger that you get up early in the morning. I mean, I've been getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning ever since I've been about 6 or 7 years old. It does not hurt you to get up before the sun comes up. It really doesn't. Some people think the sun just pops up because they think when they get up, the sun, well, it just came up. It doesn't pop up. It does come up gradually. But you have to get up early enough to be able to see it come up gradually. Amen. I want to be a blessing to somebody, so I want to get up in the morning. Amen. Some men remind us of blisters. They don't show up until the work is done. You'll get that in a minute. You know, it's always interesting. You know, you got something going on, and all of a sudden, there's always somebody who shows up. Oh, you're all done? Yeah, I guess so. So laziness needs to be changed to productivity. That's the only way you can be a blessing to someone else. Here he goes. What laziness steals from our time. Now, you realize that each one of us only have 24 hours in a day. That's it. You don't have any more time than I have. And so laziness will steal you of your time. Realize this, the days in which we live. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I mean, the devil would love to keep you sleeping when you ought to be up doing something to be a help to someone else. The days in which we live are evil. They are corrupt. And they're getting worse every day. And so that means the Christian needs to be doing more to be a blessing because there's more people who need to be blessed. And so you need to get on with it here and realize the days in which we live. You need to realize our days are limited. And you know, we know Hebrews chapter 9 tells us it's appointed on the man but once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we understand our days are limited. But Ecclesiastes, Solomon puts it this way in chapter 9 and verse 10, says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And so this is the hour. This is the time that you have. Whether you're 20 years old or whether you're 50 years old or whether you're 80 years old, this is the time that you have. You better redeem the time because your time is limited. There's a day when God says, that's it, your days are over. How can you be a blessing when your days are over? So you need to do all you can to be a blessing right now. And so I don't want laziness to steal from me the time that God has allotted me to be able to live on this earth. And whatever extended time you may have, you're limited with your time. My uncle just went home to be with the Lord. He was just turning 90 years old. But that was it. His time is over. And time ends so quickly upon us, and yet there are still people who need to receive a blessing from us. And we need to not allow laziness to steal us of our time. But also, laziness steals us from our finances. And, you know, we have to be careful with how we deal with our finances. And you never get something from nothing. That's what needs to be taught right now to a lot of people in America. The government has nothing, period. Well, I need to get something from the government. You can't get something from nothing. Oh, the government has a lot of money. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have any money. Whatever money they claim to have, they don't have. They're bankrupt. And the reality is, well, the only thing they can have is what they take from somebody else. But laziness will cause you to lay around and be disgruntled with life because you think you're justified in getting something for nothing. And you don't get anything for nothing. You can't be a blessing expecting to get something for nothing. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11 tells us, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. I don't know anybody who has ever got ahead in life that hasn't worked hard to try to get what they have. You don't get anything for nothing. You know, it cracks me up, all these kids crying about needing the government to pay for the college. No government paid for my college. You know, I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years, but they wouldn't pay for my college because I went to Bible college. And I don't begrudge the government for that. I'm not mad over it. Really, I'm not. I paid my own way through school. I worked and paid my own way through school. You want an education? Go get a job and work your way through school. Stop thinking you're going to get something for nothing. Anybody that's got a head's had to work for it, you know. And if we want to be a blessing to someone else, watch out. Laziness will cause you to lose everything you have financially. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23 says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. You can talk about making money all you want, but until you get up and do something about it and you start working hard, you're not going to be a blessing to anybody. So watch out. Laziness will steal away your finances. You never meet the needs of tomorrow by neglecting today. You know, folks say, well, you know, you're going to have to retire someday. Well, then you better start working on it right now. And because you're never going to reap the needs and meet the needs of tomorrow if you're not planning and getting ready for it. And you can't do it by neglecting your opportunities today. Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 11 says, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teaches with his fingers, frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly, suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. And if you continue on reading through the chapter here, you find that what happens is he literally ends up ruining his life because of the fact that he has not been diligent in his work today. That's why before he even deals with that, Solomon says, where's someone you need to learn from? And that's the ant. Go to the ant. You don't talk yourself into success. You don't talk yourself into security for the future. You have to work hard and diligently do what is necessary to be done, because laziness will rob you of everything that you have and it'll hinder you and prevent you from being a blessing to someone else. So laziness to productivity. So it'll steal your time. It'll steal from your finances. It will steal your relationships, this matter of laziness. It'll steal literally your time with God. And, you know, each one of us need to schedule time with the Lord. That means you have to get up and you have to read the Word of God. You need to pray. And if you don't get up and you don't pray and you don't schedule time with God, you're just, you know, too busy, too disconnected, too tired, whatever it may be, whatever the excuse may be. Then all of a sudden you're going to turn around one day and you're going to realize you can't be a blessing to someone else because of the fact you're so far away from God, you don't even know what it is to walk with God. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And we need to listen to what God has to say. And so laziness steals from your relationship with God, your time with God. It also steals your time with your spouse. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 5 tells us that there need to spend time with your spouse. And oftentimes what we do is we just, hey, sometimes life, you got to make the decision that you're going to spend time together. You can't just always say, I'm tired. You just can't always say you're disconnected. You can't always say you got something else to do. You can't sit around and just in a lazy way approach your relationships. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 5 says, when a man taketh a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken. And boy, how would you like to have a honeymoon like that? A whole year, you don't have to work. You have to be with your wife. You had to cheer. Notice he didn't say I had to cheer up the man. You have to cheer up the wife, you know. So there's a lot of dedication, a lot of commitment there to make sure she's happy. When mommy's happy, everything's all right. Amen. So time, watch out. Being lazy and being disconnected and not putting any attention or focus on your spouse is going to cause you marriage problems. And it's just a whole lot easier to pay attention to your spouse, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, to be able to eliminate any opportunities to be able to suffer loss. Because I'll tell you, the devil wants to take a lazy spirit and cause you not to work at your relationship as a husband and wife. You know, it takes work and it takes time to be together. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, watch out, laziness will rob you from your time with your children. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. That is talking about a commitment, a sound relationship with your children. And listen, after you worked all day, you may not feel like playing games, but your children need you to play some games with them. Your children need you to sit down and play a board game with them. You say, that's stupid. What is a board game? You need to sit down and do that. I tell you, we grew up on the farm and we worked like crazy. And I mean, we were working hours upon hours. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. When we came in the house, we ate dinner. My dad had time to sit down. We didn't sit down and zone out on the television. We sat down and we played games, Monopoly or whatever it may be, checkers or whatever. Dad took time out of his busy schedule and focused and committed time to his children. He always beat us too. I didn't like that. But I'm going to tell you, you won't do that. You know, a lot of parents just take and park their children in front of the TV. They just hand them a video game to play because you don't want to invest the time. You don't want to be distracted. You men, let me tell you, you men need to take your sons and do something with them. You need to take them where they can get dirty. Get some grease on their hands. You need to take them fishing. You need to do something with your boys because your boys are sitting around and doing nothing and they're being influenced by girls. They need to be men, amen? And you need to teach them how to be a man. You need to spend time with your son. I understand that takes time. I understand that may take some planning. I understand that takes effort. But I'm telling you right now, you have no time to be lazy because of the fact the devil is seeking whom he can devour. The devil's going to do whatever he can to capture the hearts of our children. I was shocked. I was listening to this thing the other day on statistics in America about children, and it's alarming how many children, young men, are depressed and on the verge of committing suicide in America. And it's simply because, I'm going to tell you right now, it's simply because there's no one investing any time in them. They're ignoring them. They're too lazy to spend time with them. And you need, the greatest thing you can do for your children is to invest time into their lives. And so relationships are broke down through laziness. Not only finances ruined and not only time is stolen, but listen, your relationships will be broken down. It takes effort to build relationships. So laziness needs to turn to productivity. Why would you think that? Because of the fact I want to be a blessing to someone else. You know, going out and visiting certainly is an effort to do that after you worked all day and you go home and you eat dinner and you feel like saying, man, I'm going to zone out on the couch here. I'm tired. And you realize somebody needs a visit. Somebody needs prayer. Someone needs you to come and see them. It is an effort to get out of the house and go back out and make visits. It's not easy. What are you going to do? Succumb to laziness and not reach out and do something to build a relationship? So laziness needs to be shifted to productivity. Well, I see another thing here. Selfishness to generosity. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I can't live selfishly. I need to be generous. And I like this quote, selfishness tarnishes everything it touches. So how can you deal with changing selfishness to generosity? For letter A there is just put God first. You know what that means? That means God's first. It's not deep. It means when I have an opportunity to worship God or do something for the glory of God and something else comes up in the secular world takes second place to what I have to do with for God. That's what putting God first is. Proverbs 23 and verse 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. The only way that is going to be taking place is God is first in my being, the heart of man, the being of man. It's who you are. God's got to be number one in your life and in the priorities of your life. And why? Because if God is not number one in my life, I can guarantee you this, I'll be selfish because I'll be number one. So I have to submit myself to the Lord and let him be number one in my life, in my heart, in everything that I am. People should know us by the fact that we are a committed Christian and we're committed unto the Lord and him only. And so put God first. Why? Because I can't be a blessing to someone else if God doesn't have the priority of my heart. Because if God doesn't have the priority of my heart, every decision I'm going to make is going to be made on my own selfish being. And I need to make decisions based on who God is. So in my being, put God first. But in my possessions, Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. So I don't boast. You can't boast about what your abilities and talents are and what you're able to accomplish in your labor. It's not about you. It's about God who has given you the strength to do that. It is God who gave you the knowledge to do it. It is God who's given you the opportunity to do it. And so when we live in light of putting God first, everything, every aspect of praise, every acknowledgement of anything that we are or anything that we do or anything that we have is all to the glory of God. So put God first. Letter B, put others second. And so you're not the second one on the list. The others are the second one on the list. In Romans chapter 14, Paul helps us to understand the importance of our relationship with others because we need to judge whether we're going to be a stumbling block or not. And Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And so we have to be careful. Wow, I got a tickle up here in my throat tonight. Be careful that we put others first. And so in my influence towards others, you are either encouraging others to walk with God or you're a stumbling block that's preventing them from walking with God. And so when you talk about changing selfishness to generosity, it's God first and others second in my influence, but also with my provisions that God has given me in my heart and in my life. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, it speaks about provision. And so God first, others second, and the letter C is this, put self last. They often say that joy is spelled Jesus, others, and you. And I have to testify of the fact that literally joy is Jesus in the priority and others second, and we are the third one on the totem pole, so to speak. Put self last. Greatness comes, letter A there, greatness comes with humility. Why? Because Jesus said he would exalt those that he would exalt, and he acknowledged the fact that he would put those that are abased down. He is the one that chooses that. In humility, the way to have greatness is to have a humble spirit. blessings come with a surrender. And surrendering to the Lord, surrendering all that we have, all that we are, surrendering to the needs of others is when we experience of real blessings. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And so the blessing of Christ is that he always did the will of the Father in heaven. So selfishness to generosity is always experienced by putting God first, others second, and myself last. And now I'm prepared and ready to be a blessing to somebody else. Because if I approach it that way, whatever the response of someone else is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I don't matter. I'm just trying to glorify the Lord and be a blessing to somebody. Here's a couple of quotes to end our lesson here. Anonymous quote, a change in behavior begins with a change in the heart. And we're talking about putting on the new man. And so if we're going to be able to put on the new man, that means there has to be a change of heart. And Adrian Rogers said this, the same Jesus who turned water into wine can transform your home, your life, your family, and your future. He is still in the miracle working business, and his business is the business of transformation. And so we need to put on the new man. We want to be a blessing to somebody else. And so that means there's decisions that have to be made to be able to position myself and so to be able to be a blessing. Warren Wiersbe said this, nothing paralyzes our lives like the attitude that things can never change. You know, oftentimes people say, my marriage will never change. My life will never change. I mean, my life is a mess. You just don't understand how bad it is. And we paralyze ourselves because we think things can't change. He says, we need to remind ourselves that God can change things. Outlook determines outcome. If we see only the problems, we will be defeated. But if we can see the possibilities in the problems, we can have victory. Now listen, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And you can put on Christ and you can change things in your life. And you can change your spirit and your temperament. You can change your philosophy and your approach to life. You can change the opportunities and our responsibilities in your life. You can be a blessing to someone else, but there's some changes that have to take place. Make the decision, God, change my heart. God, do something through my life. Help me to be a blessing to others. Why? Because he that stole, let him steal no more. But let him labor. Let him labor. Why? So that he can be generous to others. And so, God, help me not to be selfish. God, help me to be generous in how I live my life in every area, work, family, church, relationships, whatever it may be. God, help me to be a blessing to someone else. That's why I wanted to sing that song tonight, More Like My Savior, because that's the way we become a blessing, by being more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we need to pray tonight.